Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. London. Headline: Russia's major offensive, quote, definitely started as missiles rained down across Ukraine. Moscow has launched its heaviest bombardment on southern Ukraine since the start of the war. This is London reporting. At the same time, there are conflicting headlines across the landscape about warplanes, about bigger tanks and more of them and more quickly, and also about missiles landing in Moldova, not in Romania, the Moldovan government collapsing. Is that an advantage or disadvantage? However, George Friedman is here to take us to the battlefield. Major offensive on the battlefield is what the headline points to. George is founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I highly recommend. George, you have designed a future that puts Ukraine at grave risk, a pincer movement by the Russian forces. We're told by the London Telegraph that the Russians have arranged 2,000 tanks and 300,000, the numbers move around, ready for the advance. What is a pincer movement, and what is your measure of the Russian preparation? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, a pincer movement is two forward movements of troops or tanks or something that form a pincer around the defenders. And what's happened here is that because of the movements they've had, there's one pincer in the south, east of Odessa, one to north near Chernobyl. And kind of from the north to the south, the Ukrainians are surrounded. They can get out either side, but a tremendous force is hitting them on both sides. And it's not hitting them yet, but it's certainly positioned to do so. And 2,000 tanks will do it.
2,000 tanks, 300,000 men driving from the north, from Belarus, and from the south, from Crimea. And what is the target? Where's that pincer headed?
That pincer is headed to draw a line to the west, cutting off the Ukrainians from any further contact with the western part, to cut them off in the east, and then slowly grind them into the dirt. When they're trapped between the two forces.
The cauldron, as you say. You know what it means when you're in a cauldron. Now, this is a long-announced Russian offensive, both in London and their references to it in Moscow. There is also a concern, as I've learned from you over the years, George, that Russia military doctrine is the master of deception. Is there any deception in something being announced weeks beforehand?
Well, it wasn't clear during those announcements what they were attacking. And many people thought they were attacking in Donbass in the east and various other places. It wasn't so much a secret, it seems to me, as something sitting there that nobody noticed, which is that the Russians had created a massive southern front, a massive northern front, and the two fronts could crash the enemy. So it was a fairly good move. Yes, it was Maskirovka, the masquerade, as the Russians called it. But in this case, it was a masquerade that was in plain sight. It was well done.
A large mobile force moving from one side and from the other. To your understanding, George, has that now been organized? Do we see it? Can we see it? Or are they hiding it?
Well, it's starting to move, because in order to make this strategy work, you've got to blast into the center of the enemy, the compounded enemy, the cauldron, and destroy the defenders. So the next move of this, having surrounded them where they couldn't move, is hit them directly. There are many ways this can go wrong, by the way. This is no perfect act, but it has put the situation very clearly. Can the Ukrainians fight off the Russians with the available troops, or are additional troops going to have to be sent, and from where?
All right, we'll move to the Ukrainian side. Right now, the president of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky, has been in London, he's been in Paris, asking for more ammo, more ammo, ammo. They've also been talking about warplanes, but we do not believe they're anywhere close to being delivered. He also wants more main battle tanks, I presume. Does he have what he needs to fend off the pincer, or is he outgunned, George?
Well, one of it is going to depend on the quality of his commanders. He has a lot of force in that inside that cauldron. They should be able to punch out at critical points. So now, how good is their intelligence as to the weak points of the Russians? How good is their ability to organize large-scale movements? These are all things that are unknown. They have been fighting a battle up till now with dispersed forces kind of handling the thing for themselves. It has not had a heavy central control. This one is a conventional battle, as conventional as it can get. And what we don't know about them is not so much the equipment. It's the command structure.
Heretofore, they've been dealing with the front line, what appeared to be stalemated front line, especially at this small village of Bakhmut. And the fighting has been very close at hand, difficult to judge afterwards. Those Ukrainian soldiers there are way advanced toward the east. In other words, they would have a difficult time getting out if the pincer is launched. Has Ukraine the logistics to reposition the army that they've got way to the east to pull back? I mean, I'm trying to imagine what this is going to look like. Are we talking about weeks that they'll have to get out of the cauldron, or days?
The Ukrainians, after fighting very intelligently at the beginning of the war, trying to destroy the Russian military, got into a habit of fighting for cities. Now, cities are fine, but they don't win the wars. And it's almost as if they were drawn east, as if the farther east they were, the more powerful they were. And they didn't really consider the worst-case scenarios of the Russians. Now, I would assume that NATO and the United States, the high command there, would have noticed this clearly and would have been warning them. So I don't know what happened, because it's hard to imagine that the Americans didn't tell them. On the other hand, they have been so obsessed with equipment, with send me more, that the training and organizing of large-scale operations went by the boards. But maybe not. Maybe they have something up their sleeves. Maybe they'll turn this into a victory for themselves.
Is the news from the Baltic Sea base, the Black Sea Basin, that Moldova's government has collapsed after the landing of a Russian missile that may or may not have been fired at Moldova, maybe it was fired at Odessa and overshot, is that significant for the Russian plans that the Moldovan government, which was pro-NATO, is no more?
It's a little fast to say it's no more. It's like many governments reorganizing, but saying, okay, we're no longer the government, different prime minister. But Moldova is dominated by Romania, which is right next door. And the Romanians take a very careful view of that, because this is very sensitive to them. So the fact that a missile flew by was, well, that's life. It's nothing to cause anything to fall. But the Russians would like Moldova very much, because if you look at the map, it's a further point
right
in the development that would not only threaten Ukrainian placements, but potentially threaten Romania, which is, after all, a NATO member and a very close ally of the United States.
Yes, and we have troops there now. The French have troops there now. They're more said to be heading in. Now, why are they in your presentation, why bypass Odessa? Is it a fortress?
Because the Russians have learned not to fight in cities if they don't have to. In the city, the defender has an advantage. He knows the city. He knows where he'd set up ambushes. He knows how to fight. It's his home turf. the attacker is in your area, doesn't really know what it is, and he gets ground up. So if your plan is to crush the Ukrainian army, battling it out in the city is not going to get that to you. And I think that's the key. This is a different war now.
So the Prinzer movement from the north is going to bypass Kyiv and head for deeper into the west. The city you identify as Stomomir. The Prinzer from the south, from behind Kherson, is going to drive for Vinnytsia. They're driving for cities, but they're not driving through cities. Is that your expectation?
I use the cities because there's a park, mark to look at. What they're doing is trying to enclose the Ukrainian army in this cauldron and then attack from the outside. The cities are things to avoid. They're good markers on a map, and we should use them because that's about where they're going. But the battle here is to enclose and crush. And if they can do that, they're going to be in pretty good shape.
And you said that the Ukrainians, they keep announcing this is coming, so somebody's thinking through this. Have an opportunity to punch through the cauldron and break it up? Is that how they'd fight?
Well, they've been saying there's going to be a big battle. I don't think they planned this battle because their forces were out of position.
I see.
They should have tried to block this cauldron from forming long ago. They didn't. They were busy taking cities, and the cauldron formed. So I think some of them knew that, but this did not alarm them as it should have.
George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, look at the map of Ukraine, and you can understand these two wings closing around the centerpiece, which is where the Ukrainian army, we think, is now deployed. And according to London, the offensive has started. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.